Look, a lot of y'all are going to point out a lot of weird shit about this. Fuck you, a wizard did it. It was nice finally meeting Jazz in person, even if he is a short man.
He just says that because the first thing I said to him was that he was shorter than I expected.
He definitely said that. That was definitely the first word.
Yeah, that's how you fucking opened with it. And then I went, okay, there's going to be hell to pay for that.
Well, Jamie, what's that? Is that the scotch?
It is. It's very good.
That's a tiny amount of scotch.
It's cask strength. I'm trying to not get trashed on the cast. I don't know what you want from me.
We want you to get trashed on the cast.
I don't think you do.
Bored by the shore, trashed on the cast.
I did that. I got the pool down to a nice level that I was supposed to. I took the hose off and thought I cut off the little nozzle to drain it. And so today while I was at work, the filter pump cuts on, water just gushing out. My backyard is basically flooded.
Just a real quick point of order. What was the water doing as it went out? What was it doing? It was what out?
I believe he said gushing.
Gushing.
Gushing. Yeah, he was gushing out. That's what I think. Yeah. I was like, wait, what? What is that? That's not even a New York thing.
Listen,
yeah.
It's a nasally, very, it should have been gushing.
The fuck, dude, I came home, my pool was just coming everywhere. It was just gushing out.
Goosh everywhere. All over the place.
Everywhere, goosh.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Gimme the Loot podcast. The Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition Actual Play Podcast that would like to go ahead and apologize and offer a maple branch to all our listeners to the north in Canada, because we did a thing. You'll see. My name's Turner, and I'll be your Dungeon Master and host of pre, mid, and post-show announcements, at least until the poutine catches up with me, and then I'm taking a goddamn nap. Hey, so Season 2, Episode 6, the guys head out on the road again, having dropped off Elias and pointed the Winnemejo east to the Bay of Toba. If you're a new listener, welcome. Thanks for jumping on. I mean, starting a podcast in Season 2 is kind of a bold choice. And there's that whole back catalog with some really questionable audio, but some fantastic context. Dip your toe in that pool when you get a chance. And of course, returning listeners, once again, thank you for joining us. New or old, we sincerely appreciate you making time for us in your busy podcast listening schedule. Most importantly, thank you to our patrons, whose investment in the show helps us produce bigger and better content, and one of the big reasons why the audio from Season 2 sounds better than the audio from Season 1. They did it. If you'd like to hear what they get for supporting the Pentagoons, hang out after the episode for more details. Two quick reminders. Number one, Gimme the Loot is not a family-friendly podcast due to a mix of profanity, fantasy violence, and gore. I mean, I'm pretty sure we opened up the episode with a coming pool. Not a pool of cum. Big difference there. That's a whole other separate thing. I don't think the pool of cum made its transition from 3.5 to 5th. Or maybe it did make it into 4th, and that's where it fell off. Either way. And on a more serious note, and hey, Canadian listeners or any of our foreign listeners, just take note of this because look, man, it's happened here. It can happen anywhere. Through a decades concentrated effort, a strategic minority has achieved some political victories in the U.S., which has led to the stripping away of bodily autonomy from women, threatens the future rights of a section of this country. Today's pretty fucking bad, but we can make tomorrow better. We can. We've got to show up. And we've got to vote. We've got to vote in city, county, state, and federal elections. And yes, we can do more. We should do more. We should organize. We should protest. We should support people right now who need that support. And we will. All those things are important for us to do. Those are all things that we need to do. But at the end of the day, there's one thing that we have to do, and that's show up and vote. So if you're not registered for whatever reason, we'll put a link to vote.org down in the show notes below. And seriously, start making plans now. Start figuring out your polling locations, timing, researching ballot initiatives. We can fix things. It doesn't take much to be a better hero than one of the Pentagoons. Here's your chance. On that note, let's start the show.
And we are back with the party of five.
It's your boy, Holland, and I play Todd the Tiefling, T to the O, Double D, your favorite bounty hunters.
Oh my God, he forgot.
Favorite bounty hunter. Yeah, I'm still doing it. Also, PTE, Big Todd, BTE, Big Todd Energy, Best Todd Ever, and the Todd Father. There we go.
What does PTE stand for, though? You said it, so now you got to say it.
That would be a personal trainer enthusiast.
Okay.
So you're a fan of personal trainers?
Yeah. Sometimes you shout out the guy who's doing the work, but I'm really shouting out the guy who is telling the guy to do the work.
And sometimes the guy that's doing the work shouts out you or some other bullshit. You know, a caring director in DM would let you take another crack at that hot mess. Next up.
I know you're not.
This is Andrew playing Moira Mossberg. The once dragonborn, now warforged, ready for the next arc. You betcha.
Good one.
Yep.
Good one.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's some good mic distance, Andrew. Good job.
Okay. I'm
some good mic work.
I'm Jamie. I play Eldrin Theneros, and an owlbear ate my homework, and I forgot to come up with a new shtick this week, so I don't know what it's going to be, but not this.
It's this.
No,
I don't get a second chance. No one gets one.
I mean, it's not this after today. It'll be this today.
This is Jazz playing Fate, the caster who's only good at causing disaster.
And Anthony, who plays Babatunde.
You know, for season two, I guess Jamie's the worst intro. Is that what we're deciding for season two? Jazz really missed a chance on supposed to rhyme caster and masturbating somehow. But I mean, you know, I thought that's where he was going. I'm the caster who master. Bates quite frequently in the back of the Winnemejo, but no.
Or who mastered his own blaster.
There you go. See, there's a lot of different ways you could go.
I thought mine was the worst, so I feel like I'm winning on that one.
Yeah, hashtag winning.
You had an aim and a goal. Mine is just,
it was aimless.
Yours was very on brand.
Much like my play in the combat last week, it was a lot of misses.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Let's keep the Tournament of Champions shit talk outside of it.
Ooh.
All right, gang. So we're back. Just a quick recap. After completing Moyle's arc and acquiring his stabilizing agent, you guys returned to Taliesin, where you engaged once again with Ognum, who, as payment for your services, sent you out on a blimp trip that totally makes sense from a timeline perspective in every way possible. And if you don't like it, remember it's Jazz's fault.
Whoa.
Then, after returning from your blimp trip, you decided to head off to the north, to head to the Bay of Toba, where you would hop on a Mercantile Guild ship to head south to Sama. Why are you going north instead of south? Because you don't have the greatest relationship with the god of Tritherion or the country that he runs, Hiko, and all the other major ports would require you to, if not go into, at least skirt through Hiko. So it was decided, hey, we would just go back up to the north. That was the path of least resistance to go north, to go south. Plus, you are contracted to provide travel services to one Elias Tarari, who was played by none other than Jeremy Cobb. So you guys have just dropped off Cardona's favorite son, much to the chagrin of Fate, as he's learned, hey, you know what? Look, it's possible for people to appreciate their casters. And you guys are loading back up into the Winnemejo to head cross-country through Cardona to the east and the capital city of Toba. So you guys have a choice here right off the rip. You can either winding ways it and stop at the save points along the way. It's a little bit of a quicker and safer journey in terms of what you might encounter in the wild, but there is a slight chance that you guys could encounter representatives of the Mercantile Guild. Or you guys could go cross country, in which case it'll take a little bit longer. There'll be a few, you know, there might be a chance for you to stumble across something else weird, but you definitely won't get any beef jerky, won't get any breakfast burritos, and won't have any chances of running into a mercantile encounter.
I think it's definitely Baba's call here, since he's the one who wants to get home so fast. But I am all for traveling cross country.
Oh yeah, road trip.
Yeah, let's do it.
I am inclined to agree. The last time we stayed on the roads, we seemed to encounter Tritherion's thugs.
If I'm recalling correctly, wasn't Tritherion telling us that his paladins are looking for us to harm us once again?
Why would they want to harm us?
Fate, like, immediately just looks right at Moyle, like, really?
Listen, I'm always good for a good stabbing, but I could also use a little rest. So, yeah.
Wait, you understand you don't have damage right now. Like, you give yourself a long rest. We're coming back and playing a fresh episode after a while. So you don't need to rest, technically.
You always need a good 12 hours of sleep.
12? 12 hours.
Always. You always need a good 12 hours.
I know we've been playing for 5 minutes and we haven't had any combat, but who else could use a long rest? Anybody? No, just Todd. Just fucking Todd the Tiefling. Prima Donna. All right. So it sounds like 4/5 of the party wants to go cross country with a Moyle not having a
abstaining,
not having an opinion one way or the other.
Wait. The cross country trip is going to take us away from the Paladins Tritherion. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You're much less likely to have a random encounter with a representative of the Mercantile Guild. Because remember, it's not just the Paladins of Tritherion that are engaged, that are potentially engaged at this point. You know, there have definitely been hints that the Mercantile Guild was up to no good in a couple of different ways, but also very specifically in relation to Baba's tribe, their mysterious illness, and trying to get a puppet government installed through the ritual challenge process so that they can gain access to the resources that they previously have been somewhat stymied by the Tabashi, not necessarily resistance, but solidarity in preventing them from coming into their land. Summit is a big continent, and very specifically the Verdant, where Baba's tribes come from, is more of almost a very loose socialist collective. Well within, you know, the organization of Baba's tribes, they're all very independent and they have their own cultural and specific trade centers or, you know, skilled trades. Like, you know, one of them control more of the rivers and tend towards fishing. A couple of them control swaths of the mountain, which actually, you know, led one side to being herders. Of herding these exotic mountain goats. The other side got more into mining, drilling down into the mountain and finding what it held. But, you know, there is a strong cultural identity in the region and a loose affiliation between the tribes. But whenever threatened, they come together and defend themselves. And the leadership of the tribes through the ritual combat to select the next Oba is both to provide overall guidance whenever there's any kind of conflict, but also to serve as a leader in interior conflict, like, you know, hey, we think that the tribe that's in control of the fishing resources is taking advantage of the tribe that's more focused on mountain goats, like to act as a mediator between any kind of inner tribal issues, but also then to act as a military commander when the tribes have to come together to defend against, you know, whether it's an incursion. Sama as a whole is, you know, in a similar way that Dak has thin spots that are attuned to the Feywild, Sama is very, very, very rich in elemental magics. And there are, you know, more areas which tie directly and thinly linked to or where the elemental planes bleed into a lake, providing just incredibly crystal clear, pure water, or an active volcano that's not really so much a volcano as it is a basin that opens up to a magma pit that's tied to the elemental plane of fire. And when those breaches are at their strongest, elementals can pour forth, creatures that travel through those planes can pour forth. And so there's a need for the tribes to come together and defend the region. But otherwise, they largely operate as a socialist collective that has really been extremely effective in that respect. They've maintained their individual tribal identities. They've been very, very equitable in trade and have created the spiritual and military and administrative leadership through this ritual combat. It what started off as really a lot fiercer, but has turned more symbolic. Originally, it was always to the death. Now that's kind of up to the combatants, whether it goes all the way to the death. You do now have the option to allow your opponent to yield. Yeah. Well, Bobby, you tell me, the last couple of competitions, have they been to the death or have they been more
to the pain?
more to the embarrassment.
The last few have definitely been to yield. More civilized. We kind of keep trying to keep people alive, especially your best warriors.
Call it pussy fighting. Call it pussy fighting is what we call it.
Whoa, whoa. Hell yeah, Todd. Hell yeah.
to some degree. That's kind of accurate.
I mean, they are cats. They are cats, yeah.
A bunch of cats. Yes.
He is technically correct.
They don't know they got those 9 lives. They could lose a couple.
Exactly.
No. Geographically, to kind of set the context for you guys are in the western portion of Cardana on the northern range of the Rodalar Mountains, which are the primary mountain range that runs from the northern tip of the Normirian continent and then breaks in a couple of places and runs all the way down south, forming a little bit of a barrier between the more civilized nations and the Western duchies, where you guys are going to head east through the forests of Cardana and actually curve back around to Dak. So the way that Dak is geographically lined, it looks a little bit gerrymandered almost. Like there's the primary chunk of the country, but then there's this thin arm that kind of reaches up and wraps around the Bay of Toba, which is where the capital of Dak actually is located, and where the twin monarchs rule. Dak is very consistently ruled by twins. Like the ruling family birth twins. If a generation fails to birth a twin brother and sister, or sister and sister, or brother and brother, to rule as dual monarchs, then that generation serves as regents until the next twinning is born. There are rumors that this was part of a pact with the Fae, with a very powerful Fae ruler, which is what eventually led to the thin spots and the joining throughout southern Dak. And frankly, the monarchy of Dak has always been primarily concerned with controlling the Bay of Toba itself, which is the primary gateway to all the river trade and travel, which then flows down into Cardana and into Normir. Control of that bay and then the associated river travel gives them a much stronger grip on trade in the area and has allowed them to remain independent of the mercantile guild. The dual monarchs of Dak really don't give a whole lot of shit about the primary continent. They were pushed into establishing a government and maintaining its borders primarily through the druidic circles that are concerned with protecting that broader swash of land, and then also protecting the world from broader Fae incursions. And that ties into your job as a ranger of Dak, Eldrin, and your previous involvement as a basically a park ranger of a national park that's like three states wide, for all intents and purposes, geographically. And I did find the original map that I sketched out for the Normirian continent, and I will be finding a map maker that can draw something useful up for this for you guys for visual reference, because I have tried to draw it in Inkrate and other mapping programs, and I'm like, nope, that doesn't look anything like I was trying for. So who's driving? Who's where in the Winnemajo? Todd, are you on your motorcycle, or are you riding in the back?
I'm in the back. I thought I was taking another nap. I don't think I got 12 hours. So,
oh my God.
You can't take like three long rests back to back. You got to be doing something.
Take a short rest.
Just give me a wisdom saving throw.
Jazz's wisdom save. He gets a plus 22 and he rolled a nat 20.
Ooh. I'm sorry. It was a DC 25.
What?
Cast fucking thing. Fucking power word kill on my character. Let that sort of Damocles hang over your head for the entire second season. Give me the arrangement in the Winnemajo, and Todd, you're not driving. You got this motorcycle, got it converted over to a magic engine, and then just are never going to drive it. Is that what the plan is ultimately?
No.
She's always polishing it.
once it needs to roll out, I roll out the back of it like Kit from Knight Rider. You know, I'd stayed in the truck, but it didn't.
Christ.
It was on the truck. It could have been riding on the street, but it wasn't, because it's a special vehicle used for killing. So it can only come out when it needs to kill.
The murder bike.
Okay. Yikes. So we're going to say going overland through the forest on the winding ways, it would have been a 2-day trip with a chance for one encounter. Going through the woods, it's going to be a 4-day trip with a chance for two encounters.
Okay.
So who's driving the Winnemajo on for the first section?
Eldrin's going to drive.
And Baba Rat Shaka.
Aw. Okay. Then Baba, give me a D20 roll.
It don't suck.
Navigator.
Just flat?
Yep, just flat D20 roll.
16.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now give me a D100 roll.
Uh-oh.
Hit on the highway. Looking for adventure.
8. Mm. I rolled an 8.
Okay.
That just doesn't feel good.
No, you guys are trucking along well into the first day, no issues whatsoever. You guys are able to get off the main highways. Dak has a very, very well-developed logging and fur trade that is run independently of the Mercantile Guild. So you guys are able to very easily get on some of the older logging tracks that the lumberjacks use to haul their timber down to the river, and be able to start winding your way east, no problem, to where you're making good good time.
Do we see more lumberjacks?
You do not see more lumberjacks. You're just taking advantage of their roads.
Damn.
But the infrastructure which they have created. But day one goes, no problem. Start of day two, who's driving at day two? Eldrin still or somebody else driving?
I'll drive.
Oh boy. Okay. Let's go. Go for it, Moyle.
Sweet.
All right, Moyle, you slide yourself into the captain's chair of the Winnemejo, reach your arms forward and pull the yoke and the wheel up in and begin heading down the road. And about 2 hours into that second day, you see something streaking directly towards you. Give me a animal handling check.
I've made a huge mistake.
Oh, no.
It's going. I know it's going. It's still going. The computer's slow, but the rolls are high. I can feel it.
Is it a Dragonborn thing? Like, you guys can't roll your dice fast? Like,
he's a Warforged now.
Oh, that's right.
He's a robot
right.
now, man.
Yeah. He should be processing faster.
Beep, boop, boop. So, yeah, you think. Yeah.
Oh, he had a +4 in animal handling.
So, what'd you get, Moyle?
15.
With a 15, I will let you decide this thing that I would qualify it as about. Think of it as about the size of a medium-sized flying dog. Not furry. Something else completely entirely. It's hard to see what it is. It's this multicolored streak that seems to be streaking straight towards you. Do you swerve out of the way or you just smack right into it?
How strong do I believe the windows are?
I'm sorry. That's too late to ask that question. So I'm going to need you to make a decision in the moment. Is it you swerving out of the way or are you just going to slam into it?
Swerve not quite quick enough. Side mirror hits it.
I need to know what your intent is. Is your intent to miss it or hit it?
I intend to miss it.
Okay. Then with your 15, you swerve out of the way. Eldrin, give me a perception. Or who's riding shotgun with Moyle? Real quick.
Eldrin is, and he's locked on to Moyle, making sure he doesn't crash the car.
Moyle has already missed a few gear shifts.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because there's no gears. give me a perception check at disadvantage.
At disadvantage. Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah, because you're staring at Moyle, not at the thing that goes zipping by you.
Well, I got a 19 and a 24, so the 19.
Fucking Jesus Christ. Okay.
Ooh, nice.
So the 24 it is.
It's not how disadvantage works.
As Moyle wrenches the wheel to the left, the back end of the Winnemejo fishtails a little bit. Todd, give me a luck roll. Real quick.
Wait, luck roll is just a flat d20, right?
Will Todd fall out of bed from his
flat? Nope, it's whether or not his bike gets laid out flat by you fishtailing the Winnemejo.
You said it's a flat d20, right?
Yep, flat d20.
I always look for luck on the screen.
Yeah.
18.
And you found it.
Todd has somehow installed a second kickstand in his bike. So he's got the dual kickstand going. Winnemejo fishtails on this. It's a hard-packed dirt road. It's been run back and forth enough that where it's not loose dirt. You guys are kicking up a little bit of a musty cloud behind you. And you guys fishtail a little bit. There's that shifting grind as you hear the Winnemejo swing back and forth. But you see Eldrin out of the corner of your eye as you're first initially impressed that Moyle has the hand coordination to maneuver the Winnemejo so deftly. But you see this colorful streak zip by you and you realize, oh wait, that was a fairy dragon. You guys just narrowly missed hitting a fairy dragon. And based off of your experience with those kind of creatures in Dak, you would know that thing would be smart enough not to try and dive bomb a vehicle of this side if it was flying towards you and it must have been distracted or something else must have been going on with it to put it in that situation. You guys can keep driving, but you're leaving this thing in the rearview mirror as you head on down the road. What you do?
I'm gonna keep driving this land yacht. Moyle knows a thing or two about large vehicle maneuvering. I know most everyone in the party did not know that, but he's towed a boat or two.
towed a boat.
Moyle is actually proficient in boats, and that in fact, are you proficient in animal handling, Andrew, or no?
He had a +4.
Oh, yes, I am proficient.
Really?
I am proficient, yes.
That is strangely surprising. I was going to say you could add your proficiency bonus to it if you weren't because of your boat proficiency. And you realize, and good luck convincing everybody else of this, Moyle's actually pretty good at piloting the Winnemejo, as it turns out. Like, because it's, not sure maybe if it's because it's a ship's wheel that pilots it, or it's that same kind of drifting wide turn that you would associate with a naval vehicle, but that would be it. So unless you guys make the call to interact with this encounter, we're just going to head on down the road, and that will be that.
Or it could be that Christopher Cross is always playing in Moyle's head.
Fate's in the back practicing with his new stabbing tool.
Todd is back there saying, you're hitting them corners too goddamn hard. You need to watch yourself over there, sir. You need to watch yourself.
Did he almost make you spill your yak?
My yak on my $200 suit. He's hitting
the corners too goddamn hard. All right. Then that's going to wrap up this particular day of travel as you guys head further east. Way to yes and the encounter, guys. Appreciate it. Okay, real quick, gang, fast announcements. Harland and Jamie pop up in a couple of other podcasts. Check out the show notes below. Links will be there. We stream every Thursday on Twitch, 7:30 CST at twitch.tv/GMDLcast. I've been doing a lot of interviews lately. We're going to get back to some of the DM's planning and some of the other more creative content. It's been fabulous meeting some incredible people, and we do still have some awesome guests lined up, but we are reevaluating some of that content due to some scheduling hiccups that we've had. And just a couple other reasons. Long story short, get over to twitch.tv/GMDOcast. Give us a follow because we add nights all the time. We do more than just 4 nights a month. We do the Thursdays every single time, but then we'll bop in a couple extra nights here and there. Like last Friday, after we interviewed Luke Gygax. Yeah, I'm name dropping that. It's fucking Luke Gygax. It's pretty cool. Got an opportunity to sit down and talk to Jay from Shatterport Chronicles at NeoFet3 and have a really cool discussion about Star Wars and streaming the Star Wars TTRPG from Fantasy Flight. Super nice guy that I met at Jasper's. Absolutely check out his stuff and keep an ear out for a guest quest from him in the future. But hey, that was an extra night that got added on Friday. How would you have known that would have happened? Get over to Twitch and follow us. Also, head over to Twitter and hit us up at GMDLcast for other show announcements and character art and all kinds of cool stuff. And while you're out there on the interwebs, get over to whichever podcast platform provides you with your entertainment and rate, review, subscribe, click on stars, give us all the virtual hugs you can give. We desperately need your validation, and the algorithms need your feedback to tell people what podcasts they should recommend to other people. About 30% of podcast consumers pick which podcasts they should listen to next by the one the algorithm feeds them. And since for some fucking reason, actual plays are not their own genre in Apple Podcasts yet, despite being a significant chunk of podcasts, appeasing the algorithm really does help our show grow. And hey, if you leave a review and I have my shit together, both of those things have to happen, then I'll actually read it here on the on one of the announcements. You can get a shout out, you can get a heads up. And if you can spend a couple extra seconds helping out the cast, then we absolutely appreciate it. Cool. On that note, back to the show. As you guys head further east through the various trails, you can gradually start to feel the decline in elevation as you move out of the higher mountain ranges. The more tundra-esque scrub and lower broadleaf trees that you become accustomed to from the western side begin to shift into the towering evergreens that people associate with Cardana. That is these huge towering pines and I don't know. Are there other evergreen trees? Beats if I fucking I know. For pine trees are what I know is evergreens. Like I'm sure there are other ones. Firs. Those are firs. There's Douglas firs. There's Christmas trees. Whatever. Evergreens. As you guys drive deeper in. Now, so are you guys going to just drive till you want to pull over for the night? Or are you going to try and drive through the night? Or are you going to try and find a little village to pull over and get a room for the night?
Do we need to get a room if we have a Winnemajo?
You absolutely do not.
Or do we have to get a room because we take up several parking spaces?
Well, if you take up too many parking spaces, you have to buy a room?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. I have no idea. Park somewhere else. I mean,
yeah, we'll just drive off and park somewhere else. Yeah.
Listen. When Todd travels long distance, he tries to make as few stops as he possibly can. You get gas, you snack up. You hit back on the road. You never stop.
What is our food situation?
What's gas?
Yeah.
I love how Todd has these rules, but he's never driving.
Yeah.
Nope. He's done a lot of driving in his day. He'd prefer to take naps now.
So
didn't you say you were sleeping the whole time? Like
it's the fastest way to get to any destination. Close your eyes, open them, and you're there. Everyone knows that.
What is that like? That must be nice.
So Fate's pressing the issue on how much food do we have left. He's trying to make sure we've got plenty of food. Are we good?
Can't the ranger get us food whenever?
I mean, that's why he's asking.
I definitely can get food, yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah. You guys have gamed your way out of having any really cool narrative hooks for overland travel. Yeah, I really appreciate that as well. I've got two Outlanders. We just find fucking Big Macs under rocks.
But see the thing that Fate is worried about isn't so much the actual food as it is Baba's wine stash, because it seems to be keeping him calm.
Give me a survival check to see whether or not you fuckers restocked the larder before you left. This isn't a survival check for whether or not you guys can find food. This is for survival check for whether or not you chuckle fucks had the sense to prep beforehand before you headed out on a major road trip.
17.
All right. So Fate would have gotten, let's see, what would have Fate gotten a lot of? He managed to find some prepper jugs of ducky or McCobold sauce that have been stashed away.
Nice.
That he's got hidden, like, just in case. Just in case. Not cracking into it now, but you never know when you're going to need it. No, so, yeah, you guys would have all the supplies that you need in the Winnemage at this point for a decent week. I'd say probably 2 weeks worth of rations, which for you guys includes a lot of food, booze, and probably more than a little porn. So, but the question remains, pulling over on the side of the road, driving through the night, or finding a small village.
Knowing that we've got enough supplies, I'm good with pulling over the side of the road.
Yeah, it seems safe, I guess. So does it seem safe? Are we like, where are, is it like pretty, pretty secluded?
Are we pulling over in the ghetto?
Yeah.
The fourth. Hey, baby.
I mean, you know, the way that Cardona is organized outside of the Rattlar Range and the Iron Congress, like the Iron Congress is primarily concerned with the interior of the mountain and the undermountain. Once you get out of there, it's a loose collection of counties and cities that are supported by the local burgermeisters and then patrolled by the Crimson Rangers, which is a little bit of a specialized ranger force supported by the Iron Congress and funded by them. You know, they have a couple of different specializations, but they primarily roam the country looking for trouble and help either bring people in or help taking on monsters. So you guys can, I mean, again, it's just a matter of when you decide to stop. If you can stop right outside of a village, you can pull over next to a logging camp, or you can drive till you're just kind of in that couple of mile gap between, you know, a small trapping hut and the next little town green that you would come across. I mean, you guys looking to just find something out in the middle of nowhere, back the Winnemajo up into a little copse of trees and hang out for the night?
I say we should park near a logging camp. I feel very secure next to men dressed in tartan.
Are we doing the Autobot voice? Or are we back to N3RD? I'm confused, Andrew. And I'm not criticizing. I'm just curious.
I am also confused.
You're all for confused?
I am also confused.
Oh. Well, you guys can choose. I'll do whatever voice. I haven't really figured out what to do for the Warforge. So if you guys have suggestions, I'm all.
Does he have a dial that we have to turn to like change the voice?
Like a radio.
Oh, dear me.
Oh, no. Change it.
I just want you to pick one.
You didn't like, you were very confused on my Tommy Wiseau. Yeah. The other day. You're like, what is this?
What is happening? I'm a big fan of the Autobot voice, but if that's too commanding from
Autobots,
no
Autobots. Roll out.
If that's a little bit too commanding for Moyle, I certainly understand.
It definitely is.
It's a level of stature and grandeur that Moyle doesn't deserve.
Any more Starscream?
Maybe we just save that for battle then. And always starts with a finger point at the enemy. Autobots, enemy that away.
So you guys are pulling over for the night. I was just in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's fine.
Just standing full on, just standing inside the Winnemajo, prepping food in there, setting up a campfire. What's the sitch?
Who's cooking?
Todd's cooking.
Lay down some tasty bits.
Oh, okay.
Does Todd cook enough for the group, or does he just make enough for himself?
see, you weren't supposed to know that. You're like, oh, man, that smells good. Yeah, get your own.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
That's what Todd would totally cook just enough to get complimented.
Yeah.
And then that's all he's going to drink about. Like, maybe enough for one or two extra people so they can go, oh, man, it tastes as good as it smells. So somebody gets left high and dry.
It's like he even plated it.
Before it goes to sleep, Baba's going to go outside and get at least some fresh air for a little bit.
Oh, that's how you get ambushed. Have you not seen any Jason movies?
He's not going far.
You go outside the camper, all right, and you get a guy in a hockey mask
stretching his legs.
Oh yeah, it happens all the time.
We'll deal with that in just a second. Real quick though, Todd, what are you cooking?
Ooh, baked beans.
Oh no.
But the most amazing baked beans you've ever tasted in your entire life. There's definitely some brown sugar, honey, and bacon in it. There's definitely that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Give me a intelligence saving throw, Todd.
Okay.
Intelligence.
With a nat 20.
Give me it. Okay. Then, Todd, as you're prepping those baked beans, you go to grab the bacon and you wrap your hand around the pouch with the dried out were flamingo meat. that you've been carrying since the encounter with Chodecopter. And there's a moment now where you have a decision. Do I slip a little bit of this into the beans or do I not? But it's your call whether or not you put any of that into the beans or not.
Can I make a separate batch for them when I slip Chodecopter?
With a fucking nat 20, you bet, man. It's prank time, Todd. Who are you pranking with the poison beans?
Fate.
God damn it.
Okay.
Fate is definitely getting a poison bean prank.
Damn it.
Fate, give me an insight check.
Oh, fuck. Okay. All right.
And Todd, roll a d4.
I'm scared now.
Two.
All right. Insight. Need that nat 20. That is not a nat 20. That is a 7.
Oh.
A 7.
Oh, okay. All right. So, Todd, you have you had 4 total portions of the tainted flamingo meat. You have used 2 now to juice up Fate's bean bowl. Fate, you see Todd just whipping up this just incredible smelling dinner. Your mouth is watering. Your nose, it's like a cartoon where the scent comes in and wafts in, and Fate's kind of lifted up a little bit, sits up a little bit straighter in his chair as a secret foodie himself. You start quite like, what are you putting in there? So when Todd, and I think you're kind of asking Todd questions, trying to well actually his bean preparation. So when he finally turns around and brings a bowl to you, you don't even question it. He's like, okay, well, I've probably challenged his cooking skills. And Fate, they are fucking really good beans, man. They are incredible. He wasn't kidding when he said the best baked beans you've ever had, but I am going to need you to make me a constitution saving throw.
Oh, thank God. All right. Okay, this has never gone well for me. Hold on.
Constitution, hold on. Oh no.
Wait. I feel like...
You got this.
I probably don't.
You better.
damn it. I was hoping I had like some type of like ability that I could use to boost me here. I do not. Constitution saving throw. Oh, that's not good. It's an 11.
Ooh, an 11?
I'm sorry, what was it?
It's a 1 followed by another 1.
Okay. I am not going to reveal what the DC was at this time, and I'm not going to reveal whether or not that's a pass or a fail at this time.
That is what? Why would you? No.
It makes it worse.
That's much worse.
All you know right now is he had some really good beans, and he seems to be really, really happy about how much you're enjoying them.
Oh, man.
Rubbing his hands together like...
This is the Cartman chili all over again. Oh.
Baba, you step out of the Winnemajo with your barbarian danger sense vaguely tingling about shenanigans happening behind you. And as you go to kind of take a little bit of a stroll out into the woods, give me a perception check.
13.
Okay. You hear the a little bit of soft, very much the sounds of a child kind of sobbing a little bit. Like not actively crying, but as if when a kid has cried themselves out a little bit and there's that tired, just a like well to get that little bit of extra burst of energy to start crying again, coming from the edge of the woods to the northwest of you. You can't really catch a glimpse of it yet, but you've got a very good strong feeling for where it's coming from.
Distance wise, what am I thinking? Like, is it or like
50 feet, let's say 60 feet.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, I was just kind of like, is it really far away or like?
No. It's at the edge of within a couple of turns walking, basically. Not like so far away that you got to go wandering deep in the woods.
Standard walking distance.
Not readily visible, but close enough for you to hear the soft sobbing of a child.
Okay. So Baba's going to check it out. But before he does, he's going to tap on the door and let them know he's going to walk off. Going to check on something in the woods. Keep an ear out for me.
Okie dokie.
I'm just going to let you know. Nothing has ever gone well by checking something out in the woods. You know that, right?
Well, then come with me, Todd. Come on.
Oh, no. I've got something I've got to see in a few minutes. We just ate these beans, and I just want to make sure that Fate's enjoying it.
Eldrin hears and does not want him to go off on his own, so he's going to go with Baba.
Did I just hear that Todd is checking on my happiness?
Yeah, man. I just want to make sure you enjoyed those beans over there. How did they go down?
They were delicious, but now I'm concerned.
That's it. Just glad you enjoyed it.
All right.
He just looks at the bowl and scared.
So, Eldrin, you go out and tag in with Baba. You guys start to head off into the woods a little bit. And again, it's not very far. It's, you know, after about 2 or 3 minutes of walking, you come to a little bit of an open clearing. Night has definitely fallen at this point, but it's not a full moon. Very pointedly, it's not a full moon. It's about a half moon-ish. And there, kind of in the center of this clearing, is a fork child, probably about 7 years old, wearing really, like a really fancy, like you would imagine, like an old West bartender, you know, very old Western version of fancy clothes kind of get up, where he's got this really button-up shirt, tight buttoned up to a tight collar, like a little armband holding the puffy sleeves in, very fancy black velvet pants, and these what would apparently at one point have been some pretty shiny, nice shoes that now have been scuffed and look worse for wear for traveling through the forest. And he doesn't look up. He's got his face buried in his hand, and you just hear him go, "Mama, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh my god."
So Baba's gonna look at Eldrin. "Don't shoot the baby."
Yeah, this one seems okay. Yeah, I think we're all right.
Excuse me, child. What are you doing out here?
He startles up a little bit and looks at you. And so, you know, think of little kid sitting on scared in the forest, a heavily armored cat man and a ranger come walking out of the woods. You know, he's very startled and starts to get up as if he's going to bolt. What are you doing?
Shoot, if he runs, I'm going to let him run. I'm not going to chase him. I don't know.
Eldrin is kneeling down to try to make himself look less menacing, I guess, and putting his hands up to kind of tell him, like, "Hey, slow down, buddy."
Do you have your menacing mullet on, or is it just a peaceful mullet?
At the beginning of each day, we have to roll to see whether or not Eldrin grows a mullet, and then we roll and see which mullet he grows. So, because it's a braided belt of dwarven kind, the regular belt of dwarven kind, you have a 50% chance of growing a belt every day.
Beard.
Yeah, beard. There you go. Thank you very much. The braided belt of dwarven kind, it's a mullet. So there's whether or not he gets one is based on the role. So give me a persuasion roll, Eldrin.
All right. Oh, man. My charisma is not great.
I know. I was thinking Baba would be the one who would go as.
I do have. Oh, wait. It says advantage with. I guess it's advantage against dwarves, though, right? That's what.
Yeah.
So it's just a flat 18.
Ah, there you go.
18 on that. There we go.
He kind of stops up a little bit and gives you a look. And I think, you know, Eldrin, the Rangers of Dak are a much more loose affiliation of an organization, but there is a little bit of a look to them with their leathers and as a kind of a loose fitting paramilitary organization. So he glances at you and kind of gives you the look over, and I think probably identifies with your gear and your getup as being similar to the Crimson Rangers that he's seen before. He stops up short. He's, hey, can you help me? I'm a little lost.
Yeah, where are you coming from? You here with your parents or?
Oh, I was with my parents, and we were out on vacation, and I got real excited and I chased after this lightning bug and got lost in the woods a little bit, eh? And then I got lost, and now I've been wandering in the woods for a whole day. And, you know, my folks have a cabin. Do you think you could help me find my way back? I don't even know which way is which. Which way is which?
Can I tell which way is north? I can't, right? I would hope so.
You're a fucking ranger. I should hope so. God damn it.
Okay. Okay, good.
Give me a survival check.
Do I know where my way around?
All right. Listen, I had to ask.
No. Give me a survival check now, buddy.
A 16.
In fact, with that 16, you and Bob are able to locate the kid's original trail and actually help backtrack him the way that he came back around to this picturesque little log cabin that is set back from one of the main trails that's been cleared out, that's got a little animal pen next to it, fenced in, where there's a couple of goats hanging out and grazing. Off to the left side of the building, you can see clearly what a couple of beehives have been.
Can I ask a question?
How far have we traveled?
Yeah, I was about to say, how far away from them are us, are they now?
You should have gone with him if you cared, Todd.
No, because of the pentahedron abilities, we can't be that far away. That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah. 500 feet. Yeah, you guys would definitely have gone further than 500 feet. So you guys definitely would need to have gone back and gotten everybody else. Oof, it's been a minute since that came into play. Sorry.
Ooh. Wow. Wait. Ooh. But we're at a tie, though.
Well, we weren't too far away when we met the boy in the first place, right?
No, exactly. Yeah, you guys were probably at the upper edge of that. You were probably, I'd say, 425 feet from the Winnemajo at that point, if we're doing this. So you can start to feel the tingle and tug at your pentahedron charts, and the very faintest outline of your badges start to illuminate. And inside the Winnemajo, you guys can start to feel a little bit of tugging on the bond. And except for you, Mo, you don't feel it because you're
stabilized.
You just come along for the ride. You're stabilized. You're still attached, but you don't have that same gravimetric reality pull. But even still, your badge starts to flare. Just the faintest outline of your badge and your socketed stabilizing agent appears. So you guys in the Winnemajo do get the feeling like either one of them has activated one of their powers, or they're getting the edge of the distance away from you that they can get.
What is your name, little boy?
Oh, shit. Hold on. Let me check the Patreon channel. Let's see if our patrons have been good.
Don't worry. We'll wait.
Hold on. Hold a moment. I knew this was fucking coming, too. And I didn't even fucking do this. Hey, patrons, give us some names, yo.
We let them use mullets and mallets, and now they
went nuts. Yeah.
Dude, they have shot their creative wad for sure on the mullets and mallets. So I can say these. And God love them. They were doing so good on the hammers. That's why I added a NASCAR of mullets. And when they went tore on that, I was like, man, I want to add a random thing for all the fucking party members now. These guys are fucking killing it. But that would be a little bit too much, I think. Let's see. I think we burned up. I need to clean this up. Yeah, Ham Jam Gillum and Champagne Pank were the last two that we have in there. And let me be perfectly clear, by the auspices of those names, those are going to be recurring characters. Like Ham Jam Gillum, be made. That's like, oh shit, Todd's going to have to do a derby race because Ham Jam Gillum is too fucking Ham Jam, like that. What's that? Black Betty, Ham Jam, a Jam. Like that's the song. I immediately started hearing it in my head. Like, Ham a Jam, along a ding ding, champagne, ding dang a dank a bunk. So I am. Oh, this is. We've just got a road race side quest. All right. What are you guys doing?
Well, I'd ask him his name.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me get. Hold on. I'm gonna, let's look over. Licknap, Lipnack Doug.
Oh. Okay.
Hold on. Hey there. It's a Lipnack. Lipnack good?
Okay, Lipnack. We have a vehicle. We can take you to your home.
Oh.
But you will have to come with us.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you. So are you taking him back into the Winnemajo?
Yeah, don't be alarmed by the extremely creepy group of characters in there.
We have a large white van.
Yeah, it's not a creepy van, I promise you.
He totally pulls up at that and goes, oh, guys, I was told never to get into strangers' fans. There's a lot of long-haul truckers out here, and my parents were very careful to teach me not to. I mean, I'm sorry. Can you guys? It's not far, I don't think. You think I just got lost and couldn't find my way back very well.
So once Todd, his marks start to shimmer, he immediately goes outside.
I forgot my toque.
To see what's going on. So... Are they outside? Can I see them from where I'm at?
Yeah, no. As soon as you step out of the door, you can see Bob and Eldrin walking up with a little kid.
Whoa.
He stops short.
Yeah, he can. Lipnack, you can stay outside the van or the truck. We'll walk alongside. And so I just tell whoever to drive
and follow me.
Okay.
Are we driving through the woods? Is it like, or is it like on the road that we can get to? Like, I don't know.
We were going cross country anyway.
But I'm just saying, we can't drive a Winnebago in the woods.
Before you guys reminded me of the distance, I said there's a little cottage set off the main road. So there would be like a little pathway leading up to it. So you guys can navigate the Winnebago around. You all roll up to the driveway, basically, of this cabin. You all will have to get out and roll up with Lipnack. As you guys are striding up, the lights of the Winnebago silhouetting you guys all, you've slowed your pace so that you don't outpace this little kid who's very tired and walking. So it looks like you're doing this weird slow motion strut in the headlights. But his parents don't even notice. They see you guys walking up, and just like a shot, this orc woman comes barreling out of the cabin in this, you know, flowery blue prairie dress. And she scoops up Lipnick, and there's a rambling conversation in Orcish does anybody here speak Orcish, or is it just Fate that understands?
Actually, I think I do. I speak Orc, yeah.
Is it similar to Draconic?
No, not at all.
Let me take a look. Fate does not speak Orcish. Fate doesn't speak it unless he turns on his ability.
Eldrin does.
Oh, yes, I do too.
So you guys pick up basically a combination of admonishment and appreciation for how happy she is to see him. It's like, oh, Licknip, I can't believe we almost lost you. You, I can't believe you ran off on your own. You are in so much trouble, but I'm so happy to have you. That, you know, frantic mom alternating between chastising and you know, being so happy to see her, that her kid is back. She scoops him up and you know, just carries him inside as a extremely broad, tall orc comes striding towards you guys. He's got what is very clearly a double-headed woodsman's axe over his shoulder. Very finely dressed, buttoned-up shirt, kind of that similar kind of old westy, but more of like the head rancher instead of like the bartender like the kid looked like. This guy is obviously somebody who is definitely well off, you know, exudes a little bit of an air of affluence, but still carries himself as a lumberjack and has that confident stride to where he hefts that axe, you know, what would be very easily a two-handed axe for some people. He's got it in one hand. He plops it down at his side and he goes, oh, hey there. He starts off in Orcus a little bit. But then he realizes not everybody's getting it. So he shifts over to Calm and he goes, oh, hey there, fellas. I just want to say thank you so much for bringing my little boy home. I don't know what happened. If there's all kinds of creatures and stuff out in these woods. I don't know how I can thank you. Would you? Is there anything I can get you? I've got some quality maple syrup back there. I got some honey. I think I got a few extra healing potions. If you guys you guys look like the adventuring types, you might be heading into trouble.
Healing potions are always good.
Yes,
healing potions.
Yes. Yes, whatever you feel would be adequate.
Well, I can't thank you. I can't thank you fellas enough. Now, I tell you what, why don't you, somebody go ahead and roll me a D6, and I'll tell you how many potions of healing you get.
Who's rolling it?
Bam, bam, six.
Okay, we picked the right person.
You guys got six potions of extra healing.
Woo!
Look, lumberjacks, you know, they hurt themselves a lot, so it's handy for us to have them around. I'm sorry, did you have a question there? Oh, you're a big wooden fella. No hard feelings about the axe, huh?
You didn't tap my brother Trees for that syrup, did you?
Oh, all we're tapping around here is ass, my friend. We're on vacation.
Is that why you left your son outside?
Syrup boys, roll out.
You guys roll up, head back to your original campsite. Rest of the night passes without harm. Day three, we're going to do our second big encounter roll. Who's driving?
I'll drive.
Oh, no. Todd.
Does that mean that I'm shotgun?
Well, you tell me.
I would love to be shotgun.
All right.
Eldrin doesn't feel comfortable.
Eldrin, you shut up.
Eldrin doesn't feel comfortable not being in the cabin, so he's going to sit in the cabin or just kind of stand disapprovingly in the corner.
So the Winnebago cabin... The Widowmage cabin seats six comfortably. You've got the captain's chair and the co-pilot's chair. Then you've got the two passenger benches right behind that.
Yeah.
You know, in between the two captain's wheels, you've got the basic instrumentation panel, which is kind of like this. Like if you imagined a combination astrolabe / hourglass /
get you out of here, Jamie.
What are those spinning weather things called? Weatherometers?
A weather vane?
Not a weather vane, oh. But you know, like the ones that have like the little little cups on them that spin real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Doppler 5000.
Yeah, there you go.
Doppler.
No.
Nope. Yep. Yep. No. That's the Doppler 5000, one on each side of that. And that kind of twists and turns and bobs and lights up in different ways. And that's kind of the Winnemago is running okay. Directly behind that, you have the stabilizing agent tracking globe, which is currently set into its housing. So it's blown up to be about a good 3 foot diameter globe that's sitting in that spinning housing, currently rotating and spinning slowly as you guys are pretty far away from one of your stabilizing agents. And then it's got the two couches behind that. And then behind that, you have the beaded curtain that goes back into the dining area.
So Eldrin knows that there's a comfy couch behind the driver's seat, but he is so uncomfortable with Todd driving that he is actually standing kind of just off to the side with his arms folded, watching everything he's doing.
Okay. Eldrin, give me a charisma saving throw not to constantly backseat drive Todd.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, man, the charisma.
Wait, which one makes him backseat drive? Failing or passing?
Yes.
A 13.
So with a 13, dealer's choice.
He's 100% backseat driving.
Okay, there you go. So then Todd, as the driver, give me your encounter roll for day two.
D20 still?
Yep, give me a D20.
We're going with 13.
Nice.
Okay.
Moyle points at the globe and asks, what is this?
Oh, God.
Wait, what? Moyle, you...
Is the map...
It's a map, man. It's like a map, kind of.
But the world is flat.
Oh, no.
Moyle, you do realize we've all been with you. You know...
Is the map...
We know you know the things still, but I understand you've gone through a lot.
The world is flat. We know that, right, guys?
Wait, what?
Do we know that?
Moyle.
You did circumnavigate the world when you was on a boat, right?
You were on a boat?
Did you fall off? Did you fall?
No, I was brown water, guys. Come on.
Yeah, he was
a swamper.
It was a riverboat cabin.
Riverboat. Old man river.
Okay, moving on. So, Todd, you're trucking along. And again, if somewhat of a peaceful day, nothing major disrupting, continuing that slow downward creep. You guys have gotten completely out of the foothills of the mountain range now. And as the forest has gotten a little bit thicker, you are occasionally seeing seeing some additional streams, a couple of rivers that come off of the Bay of Toba streaming inland, and have gone over a couple of decent sized bridges as you have moved through. And as you come over a ridge and are heading downhill towards a fairly large river crossing, you know, you plunk up onto the bridge and immediately start to hear some cracking and popping. Give me an animal handling roll.
Me?
Yep. You're driving, bud. You just drove onto a bridge and start hearing cracking and popping.
You're doing it wrong, Todd.
I got animal handling out the wazoo. 17.
Okay, dealer's choice. You're going to try and slam on the brakes. You react in time. Your choice here is to slam on the brakes or to try and gun it and barrel across.
Gun it. Gun it.
Oh, man. Okay.
Gun it.
Hell yeah.
All right.
You can't have that much weight on just that. You got to keep it moving, guys. God, you don't know anything about bridge physics.
Bridge physics? Todd minored in engineering in the fighting pits. He's like, yeah, sure. My major was child fighting pit. I minored in civil engineering, though.
Civil engineering. What
the fuck?
It was an elective.
Yeah, Todd's qualified to make another Tacoma's bridge.
An elective.
All right, give me a D20 roll, champ. You want to roll high on this one.
Mm.
11 or higher, Todd was right. 10 or lower.
18.
All right. So you guys barrel across this bridge and it begins cracking and popping. The timbers, the thin strands of wood start to delaminate from the piers that are holding it together. It just sounds like one of those old Bosswood airplanes that you're starting to crumple up in your hands as you guys blaze across the bridge. And right as you get to the other side, a main section of it drops down into the river and you can kind of see it out the right side of the Winnemago floating downstream. But you guys make it across. No problem.
Todd gives that look back like, told you, civil engineering.
So a quick little extra lore note for actually hanging out after the show. Todd is not making that up. The child fighting pits that he was raised in had a very, very, very successful civil engineering program. Fun stuff. Hey, it's time to thank our patrons and talk about what they get for supporting the Party of Five. So A big thank you to a roboticized private eye, Brian, Bryce, Dean, Dreeken, Eric, Gibbons Camp. I suppose I should be nice to Turner and change my Patreon name. Jason, Ken, Korobe Nikki, Lurgnag, Miles, Todd God for MVP. Moyle's got a special signed edition of his Arnosia Geography Guide, The World is Flat and So is My Ass, headed your way. Please note, they're not an actual guide, headed your way. Geir the Sleepy Norwegian, Hannah, Jogen, Loki the Angry Dwarf, Rin, new patron Rin, welcome. We appreciate you joining us. The Badger 1230, Thomas, Eldrin, totally would let you drive the Winnemajo around a parking lot one time in first gear, and he is absolutely riding your shoulder the entire time. But he would let you do it. You know, in fact, I think he's probably actually steering secretly through the co-pilot's wheel. So maybe he would just let you think that you were driving it around the parking lot one time. But he does acknowledge that you should have a little fun. Andrew, Bill, we don't take spells from automatas. Fate would have absolutely shared his tainted beans with you. Good thing? Probably not. But for Fate to share means a lot. Ben, Matt, Saga, Zork, and resident alpha patron Lee, Baba would totally escort you home like a babe in the woods. And he'd even make sure that Eldrin wouldn't shoot you. So we have reached a bare minimum of childcare on the podcast. That's growth, y'all. That's growth. So what do these people get for supporting the Party of Five? Bonus lore, details about the world, more homebrew content is coming, linked to that very soon. Bonus audio like the MVP show and the behind-the-scenes stuff that gets cut up to make our intros. Extra video content like the Tournament of Champions 2.0. The Hunter's Party, our supernatural podcast where we do some homebrew stuff as well. Just a ton of bonus content and new patrons coming on. You've got the biggest pool to dive into because there's like over 160 posts there and growing. I'm going to try and throw a bunch of extra stuff up in July as well. But hey, look, if you're listening right now, you're still here and you can't support financially. We get it. Things are crazy right now. There's a lot of uncertainty in the economy. You can still help out the Party of Five. Tell somebody about the show. Patrons, you who are supporting can do this too. Don't think you're excused. Think about it. One in five people decide on what podcast they should listen to next based off of the recommendation of a friend, family member, coworker, or attractive stranger. I'm pretty sure you could measure your hotness by how many people you get to listen to this podcast. Think about that. But seriously, if we didn't have that, if we didn't have those referrals, that was one in five. That would be like losing one of the Party of Five, like Todd. And who's going to barrel over a bridge, damn the torpedoes, consequences be damned, if we didn't have Todd? Well, probably Moyle. I mean, he's like literally 2 inches behind Todd in line for that particular role, but and sometimes he's technically ahead of him. Yeah, that's probably not the best example, but it's an example. So yeah, get out there, tell everybody about our little corner of the actual play multiverse and get them to join you on what promises to be a really fun Winnemajor ride. On that note, we'll wrap up. Thanks again for your time. And as always, hope you enjoyed the show.